Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your body.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Hello, Degrassi alumni, and welcome to another DGrads podcast. This is quickly becoming my favorite day of the week. I am your host, Shane Kippel, Gavin Spinner-Mason, and over there we have...
me, Mike Lobel, or as you probably know me better, Jay Hogart.
Oh, so it's not your mom calling you that anymore?
No, she stopped.
Thank you. I was so... so you had a conversation with her, or did I have a conversation
with her?
We're also joined by our lovely producer, Andy Tate, all the way on the West Coast. Andy, say hi to everyone, please.
Hey, everyone. I'm more excited about this episode than I was about my firstborn.
That's incredible. Is it?
But I don't have any kids. I don't have any kids, so I'm actually allowed to say that.
Is it because we have such an incredibly special guest joining us today?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have a guest. Honestly, I don't think I've seen this person for many, many, many years. I'm trying to remember the last time I saw them. Our guest today is a man of many talents. He's had a very successful career as a journalist. He's a business owner, but he got his start as an actor playing the role of Chip in the stage production of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. Little factoid there. He's also appeared in films like Juno and on TV shows like Goosebumps and ER, but we, Shane and I, and probably you as well, know him lovingly best for his very iconic role on Degrassi The Next Generation, Sean Cameron. Please welcome to DGrads Podcast, yes, Daniel Clark is joining us here. Welcome, Daniel.
Wow, that is a fantastic intro. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Shane. Hello, Andy. Very nice to be on your podcast.
Daniel, do you remember the last time we saw each other? Was it on set?
It was definitely... no, I think it was at a party, and it might have been like an award show party. It was definitely like maybe 10 years ago, because it's been a while since I've seen you in person. I'm not going to say it was probably late at night, so I actually don't remember much of it.
Might have been some party.
I want to say it was in Toronto. Possibly a little bit. Yeah, it was a party, and I think it was an open bar. So
love those open bar parties.
Yeah. And Danny, you and I, we haven't seen each other. We're like every so often, there'll be like a DM back and forth or commenting on a photo online, but you and I haven't seen each other since filming, man. So that has to be upwards of, at least 15 years. We're probably more like 16, 17 years now.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'm tripping out a little bit seeing you both on the screen right now. It is a great feeling. I feel like, you know, we're old friends, you know. It's kind of like we're picking up right where we left off.
Yeah.
You know, like it is really, really great to see both of you right now. So I just thought I'd say that.
Likewise,
oh,
man.
You too, man.
You look great. You look fantastic. And you just had a kid. I mean, like, this is incredible. Like, how are you getting these hours of sleep?
Yeah. seems like 7 months old now, but I will say to everyone out there who's about to become a parent that the first few months are crazy. Like, I thought I was prepared. I was not prepared at all. My wife and I were pretty blown away. It can be pretty intense. So just everyone out there who has a kid knows what I'm talking about. And those that are thinking about it or about to be parents, Those first few months are pretty intense, but it does get a lot better. And even then, there are special moments, you know. But I can say that I was not prepared for those 3 months. So I didn't get much sleep at all. It was kind of like all hands on deck. But it's been worth it so far. It really has. She's very special.
I'm sure. That's so awesome.
Very special.
That's great, man. And I have to say, hearing that from you and also earlier hearing like just how Andy doesn't seem to be fit to be a parent in any way. If he looks more forward to recording the podcast than the birth of his firstborn. Anyway, it's beautiful, Danny. And Andy, seek help.
I was more fascinated by the fact that you talked to Mike's mom, and I want to know how often that happens.
First I have to have a conversation with Mike about that.
What's the backstory there? Yeah. Should we sit him down and let him know what's going on?
Well, I mean, did you tell him about your relationship with it? Okay, well, we have some things, some details to sort out. Mike, really sorry that you had to find out this way.
And what a fitting episode being parent day.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually why we've been so excited about this podcast is that there's a lot of things happening and most of it is about your mom. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It truly is parents day today.
This is a real, we are your father moment going on.
God.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. A lot more is making sense now.
Yeah.
It is all coming together, especially the fact that both of you have been completely estranged from my life for many years.
Yeah. But today,
typical.
Okay. All right. Moving on. So let's set the table.
Parents Day.
Yes. Yes. So this episode 105, season one, episode 5, Parents Day, was directed by Eleanor Lindo. I believe that was her first time directing an episode of Degrassi, but it was definitely not her last.
No, I think she directed the last episode.
Did she also?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, this is her first
block. Pardon me,
though.
Then.
You're excused.
Pardon me. Okay, so first block. So I'm like 50% correct there. And the writers were Aaron Martin and Yan Moore. But on this day in history, everyone, to take you back to this time capsule, to really get you in the headspace of what the world was going through. On this day in history, November 18th, 2001, is when Parents Day came out. The number one film in the box office was Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, or Sorcerer's Stone, depending on where you lived. So that's, I mean...
Well, we just went to like a normal high school, and he went to the magic high school.
He went to the magic one. Well, we are mere muggles, Mike. We are muggles. I don't know about you, Danny, but I've never been able to move anything with my hands. So I'll speak for you as well.
Even picking it up with his hands. He's getting...
Yeah. Coming from the guy that can't even clap.
We started on the wrong foot.
Yeah, we had some challenges syncing the audio with us earlier.
No, there was no challenge. It's just like the challenge is just having Mike be a part of this podcast. The top three shows on the air this week in order were 60 Minutes, which, you know, makes sense. The West Wing and the original Crime Scene Investigation, CSI. On the Billboard charts, top 100, Mary J. Blige was number one with Family Affair, and Usher topped the R&B charts with You Got It Bad.
Damn, that was a great song. Wow.
It really was. And just honorable mentions to a couple more things. Earlier in the month, the Emmy Awards took place. West Wing won, Sex and the City won, James Gandolfini and Edie Falco won for The Sopranos. Serena Williams won the WTA Tour Championship in Munich. And the Arizona Diamondbacks won the World Series in 7 games over the New York Yankees. And now we are officially back in 2001. How's it feel, everyone?
Does that take you back, Daniel? You recognize the Usher song. Were you listening to that at the time? Were you on your CD Walkman?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I surprisingly, when you hear it on the radio and you know all the lyrics, you realize kind of in hindsight that you were a huge fan. And I guess I was an Usher fan, you know, because I'm pretty sure I remember all the lyrics to that song.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was a fan of Usher's abs. Everyone knew about Usher and the way he would look when he took off his shirt. And me being an overweight lad, that he was the pinnacle of what I wanted to achieve one day. And I don't think I ever did. But thank you for inspiring me, Usher of 20 years ago.
Hold on to that dream, Shane. Never okay. lose it.
Thanks, Mike.
You got thank this. You. All right.
Okay. So, should we get into the episode?
Heck yeah.
Parents Day. Lo and behold, it's Parents Day at Degrassi. And right off the bat, Toby has some issues. He is very apprehensive about his parents being together in the same room. He wants his dad there. He wants his mom there. But he does not want them there together. Why? Because they really do not get along. We can only assume that his parents, when they got divorced, were fighting a ton, and it makes Toby very uncomfortable to think about that happening in a public space. So Toby really is not feeling Parents Day at all. And as someone who is the product of a divorce at the age of 13, of parents that were always at each other's throats, not literally, that would have been much worse, but I can feel the man's pain. I never, ever, ever wanted my parents to be in the same room with my friends, at school, anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's probably pretty common, you know, like a lot more common than we think. My parents split when I was a lot younger, so I was kind of spared from a lot of that. But yeah, no, I have a lot of friends that kind of went through the same thing, you know. And that sucks because, you know, you kind of want them there, but then if they're going to, it's hard because kids are mean, you know what I mean? So it's not something that your classmates are really going to understand, you know, if they see that they're kind of, you know, so that's got to be really tough on kids like Toby, whose parents are acting like that.
It's double tough too, because I mean, take your parent or your teacher parent day is tough already on kids, you know, a lot of kids, you know, it's a scary day mm-hmm. of the year. So put that on top of your divorced parents coming together who don't get along when they're in a room. I mean, that's just it's a whole mountain of anxiety, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yep, and we already know that Toby likes to get anxious over things, so I'm sure this did not do him any favors in that area.
Toby's had a bad run this year.
He really has.
Toby's going through, like, of all the characters on the season so far, he's really hitting a lot of bumps in the road, that guy.
Yeah, I think they all are, but Toby, like, this episode is really...
Yeah, this is...
Yeah,
this is Degrassi.
Why are there so many problems? Why do these kids have so many problems? I don't get it.
Have you all noticed that everyone goes through something in every episode? What's that all about?
Why can't everybody just get along?
Yeah, I don't know. Age old question. Okay, so then we're at school. Mr. Simpson walks in. He bumps into Toby and JT talking in the hallway. They're obviously all running a little late for class. Why does Mr. Simpson always look like he's late for a bus?
Yes.
Like he always looks like he's always out of breath. He's in like panic mode to get somewhere, a little neurotic. Then he lands and everything's okay, but he always seems like, you know, bug-eyed and like, I just need to get somewhere. I don't know. I find it very endearing.
I like that about his character. I feel like he just graduated from teacher's college. You know, I got the sense he really wants to do right by these kids. And so he's going the extra mile, grading their papers. You know, teachers don't get paid enough and he's doing extra hours at night and he's always late for class and he really cares.
Cool. Yeah, okay.
I feel like he worries about if he locked the door, you know, before he left his apartment, or maybe like he left the oven on, like he's like, and he didn't, totally. But he's worried about it, you know?
It's funny you bring that up, because I am not OCD in any way, but I sometimes, when I say sometimes, every time, I'll be honest, every time I leave my place, I have to open the door again and make sure that all the knobs were turned off on the oven and stove, that I didn't leave anything electrical running, like even the coffee maker. Even though I know everything is off, I'll come back in, I'll check sometimes multiple times. And then when I leave, I'll still think I forgot something. And
Shane, I didn't realize that I hit a nerve there. So I'm
that's
really
okay,
sorry
Danny.
About that.
You didn't know it was. We invited you in. We haven't talked in a long time, but obviously we should have had a pre-interview so you knew some things I was speaking about with my therapist. It's okay. It's okay.
We can talk about them now if you want.
Actually, yeah. Fans, are you okay if they know? Danny, I miss you so much, and no, let's get back to the episode. Actually, this is a fun little thing. With the news about kids, the knack,
N-A-K-E.
If you will. Kyle Schmidt. Mm. Kyle Schmidt was there. Yeah.
That's right.
Totally forgot. I actually completely forgot that he was on Degrassi at all. Was this his only episode? Because you and I don't know if you two are still close friends, Danny, but I know that you were very close at that time, right?
Oh, yeah. We were great friends. We still talk on occasion. He's on, I think, NCIS Origins now. He lives in California and he has a family. And I think this was his only episode. I can't remember him being a guest star on another one. So I think this was it. It was kind of crazy watching it and see, well, first of all, how young we all look, but how young we all look, you know?
Yeah.
We're babies.
Yeah. And, just for the fans, Kyle Schmidt, was the male anchor in, News About Kids. To clarify, but, as we were saying, he and Danny, were very close and still, keep in touch. But yeah, that was a surprise to me. I don't know if I actually met him, but I feel like I knew him because of how much you used to talk about him.
Yeah, that was his only episode of Degrassi. Just that one little clip.
News About Kids.
Well,
that sinister propaganda machine.
Didn't get past us, Kyle. Didn't get past us this time around. 20 years ago, it definitely did, but yeah. All right, so News About Kids.
They're so disparaging of squeegee kids.
Yeah, right? And also, Liberty was way too excited when that segment came on. Like that big smile. Everyone in the class is still waking up, and she's just, wow.
She's like their number one. She's an NAK number one fan because she's obviously, you know, she's the editor of the newspaper, so she feels some sort of kinship. But also apparently, and we'll get to this, I'm sure, but a little bit of a, maybe a lot of bit of a classist, you know, she's like,
oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
But it was also, it's funny because it was actually a thing in Toronto back in like 2000, 2001, like squeegee kids coming and, you know, just trying to make some money, washing your windshield. And it was like, it was very political. I don't know if this was like going on in other big cities, but in Toronto, it was a big thing. Like it came on the radio a lot. With people calling in and being upset that people were touching their car, or, you know, that they were making their windshield worse and like all this stuff. And so it's kind of funny that the writers picked up on that and then wrote it into the script, because it was a thing for people who were growing up in Toronto in the early 2000s.
I do remember that, Danny. It was ripped from the headlines, and it's since kind of faded from the news cycle. Like it just, you don't hear about it as much anymore.
Yeah, but just that line, that headline, squeegee kids stealing your money to use on drugs and tattoos. And but Emma was not too impressed by that. She was not impressed at all with her big bleeding heart for the less fortunate. And now she is on a mission to get this News About Kids off the air. And Liberty could care less. Because
ragamuffins,
she calls them ragamuffins, and she makes it very clear that her dad is not a fan of the squeegee people, and if they continue to do this, her dad will call the mayor. Yes, her dad knows the mayor.
Yeah. And threatens all squeegee kids everywhere. You know, could you imagine some little girl from school just, you know, makes a phone call to the mayor and gets all these squeegee kids thrown in jail? The power. She's drunk on power.
She is drunk on power.
I'm pretty sure that the real mayor was like against the squeegee kids in Toronto. I think was it Mel Lastman?
Yeah.
I feel like, because he was like mayor for a while. I'm pretty sure in the late 90s, early 2000s, I'm telling you, it was like a hot topic issue, which is kind of interesting because was that like a Canadian thing or?
It was Mel Lastman.
It was Mel Lastman. You look at that. I'm pretty sure the squeegee thing was it was happening in every big city around North America, I think.
We didn't have like a title for them. We didn't call them squeegee kids. We didn't actually, it wasn't even necessarily a kids thing. It's just anybody that was homeless was trying to wash your window for a couple of bucks. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that just kind of became a thing, but there was never a name for it. And it was never like an issue that was talked about in the news.
We named it up here in Canada.
It wasn't like a Gotham City event.
Yeah. It's weird because I think it would scare people. You know what I mean? Like I remember like some moms and stuff were like, oh, like flustered and scared that these people would come up to their car. You know, like and I don't understand why. Like, it wasn't dangerous or anything like that. Just like you said, they were just trying to make money.
It's because of news reports. like in Degrassi.
Yeah, like NAK, exactly. News about kids.
Right, yeah.
Yep. It was too many people watched this show. Their ratings were impressively high that they actually shaped a generation and their fear for this.
It was the Fox News of grade school.
Yes, it really was. It really was.
Totally was. Totally. 100%.
Yeah. Definitely a GOP funded. The NAK. Emma reveals that, you know, a couple weeks ago they were trying to get kids to join the army. It seems like this is really a right wing propaganda channel. At least that's how Emma is framing it. And as she's talking about this, our good old boy Sean walks around the corner. They shoulder check. Sean gives an indignant look for. How dare you smudge this denim jacket? And then continues walking. But Emma is so smitten that any body contact will do.
That's a good way to put it.
And it continues. Now, you're right. Danny, do you remember being draped in denim for, you know, 90% of your costumes for the first few seasons there?
I do. In hindsight, you know, I should probably buy a denim jacket because it didn't look that bad, you know, now. And some of those styles, some are coming back. So maybe I'll buy it again. But yeah, I remember. I remember it was also like sometimes the pants were like a different denim. And I was like, you know, because if you wore the same, maybe it would be too much. So they were like, no. The pants got to be darker and the cheek jacket's got to be lighter. And
these are all the rules of wearing a Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah. I was just about to ask, is that a derogatory term up there? Because we use it as an insult down here in America. We're like, hey, what are you wearing, a Canadian tuxedo?
We own it.
Like,
we own it.
We okay, you it. Own it. Good. Because I like it. I think it's a great look.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is now. I think I was one of the only ones they would subject to that kind of, you know, over denimification, if that's a word. So yeah, like I said, I'd rock it now. Back then I was like, could I wear something else? They're like, no. And I'm like, okay.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I'm curious to know, Daniel, I mean, it goes a lot, it goes with the character. And in the first half of this season, at least up until episode 5, we've seen you here and there in the school hallways. You've been troubled. You pushed Jimmy up against a locker in the previous episode because you've got, obviously, there's like a history here between, you know, you're coming back to Degrassi. We get the sense that, you know, there was a dark past you're sort of not happy about. I'm wondering, do you remember your...
And you're a grade behind.
That's right. Thank you, Shane. And I'm wondering, like, what the process for you taking on the role of Sean was, and what is going through your mind in some of these moments where all we're seeing from Sean is like a look, you know, or one word here or there. Do you remember what it was like to sort of start with the character of Sean, what you were thinking?
I do. Yeah, it was like at the time, like, I mean, we're talking what, the first year or two of high school, right? Like in real life. So as like a character, I was like, I was always like a smaller kid, you know, I was never big and tall. And so it was kind of relatable because, you know, I tried to act tougher than I really was, you know, and a lot of the time I would incorporate that into Sean's character because, you know, it was clear that he was dealing with stuff that maybe he didn't want to talk about, or that he just wanted to come across as tougher than he really was. And so, at least in my life, I felt very, you know, I could relate to that character a lot. Because, you know, you don't really want to be vulnerable as a young man, right? That's always something that, you know, you put on this tough guy persona. And so I think that I tried to do that a lot, certainly, with Sean, and even in the first season, you know, that was kind of how I wanted to portray him, you know? And so I do remember like thinking about how I would do that. I also didn't say very much, right? So it was hard. Like you said, like, a lot of my dialogue was pretty short, to the point. And so a lot of it was just like mood, you know? And so I could definitely relate to that because, like I said, in high school, it was kind of, you know, most people in high school don't have it very easy, actually, you know, you have a handful of people who do, but so it was a persona, you know? And so I was like, what would kind of keep this guy safe, you know? And it's kind of like put people on a need to know basis and, like a, I guess a don't mess with me attitude, you know.
And it definitely did come through that way. I mean, we were laughing from, I believe it was the episode before where Sean first makes his entrance, and he's stood up in front of the class next to Mr. Simpson, and like, this is Sean Cameron. Sean, you know, is coming back after missing a little bit of time. And do you want to say anything to the class, Sean? And you're like, nope. And you just go and sit down. And it was so brilliant. It really was. And then you lit a cigarette and started watching porn. It was
pretty much. You did all that in a look.
Yeah. So they must have. That was that in like the extra, like, did they cut that? I don't recall that, but that sounds
well. The
pretty...
cigarette and the porn, no, but
sounds pretty badass. Damn,
that's still how I end my day today. No,
right,
but it was great. And also, to take it back to meeting you at the beginning, Mike went through your resume. I remember, like, you and your reputation preceded you in a huge way, and me, like, Degrassi being my first project aside from a commercial, and being so green and so nervous and knowing that you and Ryan Cooley were such established child actors, and you two already had a camaraderie because you were coming off of a show that you starred on together. And Jake Goldsby had a bunch of credits, and I think everyone had more credits than me. But I remember meeting you. I don't remember exactly what we said to each other, but yeah, I do recall is for everything that I was told about you and what you brought to Degrassi, you were so kind and so welcoming to this guy that just so badly wanted to be accepted by a group of actors and was wrestling with the worst of imposter syndrome in those days.
Thank you. No, it's I think we became very close quickly, like the cast in general. Like you mentioned, a lot of people that I knew already, you know, so I can imagine what that would be like. Like Lauren Collins was also on Sixth Grade Alien with Ryan and I. Jake Goldsby, it's funny. He was in Beauty and the Beast on the stage in Toronto with me. So we knew each other. Like it was such a small world back then, you know, like 90s, early 2000s, Toronto actors. I feel like everyone knew everyone, and we were all working on similar shows. A lot of it was like sci-fi shows for kids, you know. And then even thereafter, a lot of us, you know, when we would go down to California for pilot season and stuff, it was just like we all knew each other, you know, we all hung out. So I can imagine that would have been kind of intimidating. But to be honest, when you're a kid, you don't really think about that, you know. I thought everyone was kind of,
yeah,
we were all on the same team, you know.
Yeah, very much so. So Ashley, we find out really quickly that Ashley also doesn't seem to like at all when the NAK replaces her morning announcements. She's trying to play it off, but we can see that it actually does bother her. Heather Sinclair is mentioned for what I think is the first time.
That's what I thought. This is the very first time Heather Sinclair is brought up. An overbite. She's got an overbite. She's got an agent.
Yes, an overbite. Even with that overbite?
Yeah. And I'm just like, every time I hear about Heather Sinclair and there's a subtle dig, I'm just like, you know, it's the sweetest form of revenge, right?
Yeah, for Shelley, absolutely.
Do we need to explain what Heather Sinclair, the reference is, or are we beating a dead horse here?
No, I don't think we are. Heather Sinclair, for those of you that don't know, and I'm sure a lot of you have done your own research out there, Degrassi alumni, to try to figure out exactly who this character who's mentioned all the time, always put in the worst light, and is never seen throughout the entire series. Who was she? And the short of it is, she was an enemy of one of the writers, who took it upon herself to get a slow, served cold revenge over many, many years by referencing this Heather Sinclair whenever someone had to be the you know, butt of a joke. And I think Shelley laughed last in this one.
Yeah. It's like a curse. Yeah. It's like a curse on this person.
Is that true? I didn't know that. Was it like an enemy of
show? Yeah, absolutely was. I believe it was Shelley Scarrow. If I'm wrong, for some reason
I thought it was Aaron Martin. So we got to figure this one out because
It was one of the writers. It was one of the writers for sure. It was an enemy. And I think that was her real name as well. I don't think they changed anything.
What do the kids call it? We're canceling Heather Sinclair in this show, or, you know.
Or are we going to get canceled for being so mean to Heather Sinclair now?
I kind of want to meet the real Heather Sinclair now. Like, I want to see, like, what does she look like? What does she do? Is any of this even true? You know?
Yeah,
like,
there's two sides to every story.
There are.
Right.
She would actually be a great get for the podcast. Could you imagine we actually found
We'll put the real we're going to put the Heather Sinclair vibes out into the universe.
We never see her in the show. I think like maybe it was once like a blurry like background image or something, or
you see like her side or her back in a scene in the gym at some point, I believe.
Oh,
I'm going to double check that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Double check that.
We see her little sister a lot later on. Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Yes. So Ashley, okay, so Heather Sinclair comes up, but Ashley is starts plotting, right? Ashley's doing what Ashley does her best, which is to get what Ashley wants and, you know, completely blinded by her ambitions. And Paige overhears that.
Yeah. Now Ashley is saying that she wants to, that she would consider being on TV so she could take on, I guess, take the power back over there. And Paige, true to form, overhears and will not be outdone by anybody. And now Paige wants to find an agent as well. And we find out that that agent conveniently is Toby Isaac's mom. Or she's a, is she a casting agent or an agent?
She's a casting director.
A casting director. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's way better, by the way. Like it's way better to be friends with a casting director than it is to be an agent. Hell yeah.
Paige is the forerunner for the most covetous character on this show. She just wants everything that everybody else has.
And she does have that attitude that, like, you know, just can't keep her down with anything. She will, as we said, she is our Machiavellian character, and she plays it. And she plays it so well. Lauren kills that role. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, Emma is not letting go of what she considers to be NAK indoctrination of the students. But it doesn't seem like the rest of her gang, you know, Toby, JT, and Manny see it the same way. They don't seem to care at all. But there is also, they're having a talk around the picnic table. It ends with Toby being still apprehensive about his parents coming in for Parents' Day. And there was a weird long hold on his face.
Yes. Yes.
That was.
Yes. It's super awkward.
You could have cut 2 seconds off of that. There was no reason.
I loved it.
He was just.
They did it on purpose. It was perfect.
I don't know if they did. I don't know if they did. Uh-huh. I don't. Well, whatever. It's in history now. So. Paige, the next time we see her, Spinner is, telling a horrible, horrible joke.
Oh, I loved it.
Did you?
No, I loved it. Maybe it's cause I'm like dad joke era. I'm entering my dad joke years to my wife's total chagrin. I laughed. I had a good chuckle. The monkey joke.
What was it? Something about what were you going to do for a face when the monkey wants his butt back? Something like that.
And then, of course, you have to explain it, which just kills it. And in my opinion, makes it better.
Right. But Paige is not listening to any of that as a, you know, any stand up girlfriend would not listen to the weird rantings of her boyfriend, because all she wants to know is, does Spinner think that she has what it takes to be on TV, and should she get an agent? And Spinner just limps in and goes like, yeah, sure. And then continues with his joke. And Paige is like, all right, cool. I'm going for it.
Yeah, this is just such a, like, boys are so dumb and blind kind of moment. You know, oh yeah, Ashley would make a great TV personality.
Oh yeah,
Paige is just imploding next to you.
And we've talked about this before, that so far the strong characters in Degrassi, like all of them, are the girls. The guys are beta at best. They're just along for the ride.
Yeah, the guys are bumbling. Even though like beta, even though Spinner is like, your Spinner's shirt says your girlfriend thinks I'm hot. He's like a poster child for toxic masculinity of the early 2000s. So he thinks he's alpha, but he's not.
You know, I probably would have traded that for the denim on a few episodes, if at all possible.
Even in bright yellow?
Yeah, well, maybe not bright yellow, but...
that was good. I hope we don't retroactively get ourselves canceled here for all these things that we wore 25 years ago. I don't think there was anything that you, Danny, have to be worried about, but I'm sure Mike and I have some there's some things that might be a little suspect as we go on.
Oh, my character did the most unforgivable stuff, and I'm actually confused why the fans hung in there with him for so long, but I don't know. I don't know.
Because it's because of that face and those baby blues, you know?
It's the charm. I just bat my eyelashes.
That's why I wanted to do a podcast with you. It was the way you looked at me one day.
That's why we're doing it.
You know, your mom feels the exact same way, Shane, about
Oh,
Mike,
man.
I know.
I'm trying to bury this.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. All of us are courting each other's moms.
All right. So Paige is literally plotting to overthrow Terry and Ashley's plans within plans.
Yes. And Emma also gets a lesson in capitalism and business from Radich. She goes in fired up about why, you know, the kid shouldn't be subjected to hearing advertisements, especially ones that she doesn't think are, you know, even keel, and Radich lets her know that because of these ads, they are getting free computers for the computer lab, which really does help out the school and helps out students that can't afford computers for themselves. Makes sense. Now, back to Paige and Ashley. Ashley is now looking forward to seeing Toby's mom and getting, you know, selling herself as a potential actress, or, you know, whatever she sees herself as, right off like the first thing that Toby's mom will see is Ashley's face. But then Paige comes right in and says, not if she gets there first. I don't know. I just love the way that those two fight. I don't think Ashley has smiled in like 3 episodes now, because she's just so stressed.
Yeah, good point.
And then we get to the computer lab.
Yeah.
And, ooh, there is an empty seat next to Sean. But, alas, his bag is on it. And they are too scared to say something about it.
Because it's a bad boy backpack.
That's right.
It was a pretty badass bag. I got a glimpse of it, like, a few years ago. When I was like, I should get a bag like that, number one. Number two, I remember leaving the room, and they're blocking out the scene, and they're like, Dan, make sure you don't hit anybody with this bag on your way out. And so I had to like scrunch it, like, you know, just to get in that lane so I didn't knock anyone in the head on my way out. And that's the whole scene. That's literally all I was thinking about, is I hope I don't hit anyone with this bag when I'm leaving
with my giant military brat backpack stuffed with emergency rations.
I really think that would have added so much to your character if you just smashed Emma and Manny in the head on your way out with that. But you didn't. You were a good guy, and I guess redeemable, as they say.
Emma, she does a kind of a power move here. She like takes the power back. She's flirting with this sort of like, this idea, her like inner, you know, boss. And she's, no, you know what? I'm going to take up space, and I'm going to ask for this chair. And I'm going to, you know, because you kind of like chide her a little bit. Sean disses her a little bit at the beginning. And she's like, you know, she's like an activist, and she's kind of coming into her own. So she's like holding her ground, which is kind of neat.
Yeah. But I think with the storming off and the kind of the jabs back and forth, they're just so obviously in love. I feel it deep in my bones.
Oh, yeah. They've been in love for 3 episodes at this point.
Yeah, I know. All the looks. So, yes, Sean storms off with the bag. There's a line about negative energy. Danny, personally, I've never felt negative energy from you, so I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I was worried about the bag. I was like, I can't believe they said it. They said it almost like they expected me to do it. Like they were like sitting me down. They were like, now, Dan, don't hit anyone with this bag. I'm like, I'm not going to hit anybody with this bag. What are you talking about?
You had that look in your eye of pure menace. You were like afraid you were going to make a choice as an actor.
Yeah, I cannot wait to swing this thing as hard as I can.
Yeah.
We'll talk to them. I don't like that they made you uncomfortable for that. Okay, so Hacker Toby arises again.
And JT.
Yes.
Committing computer crimes again.
But this time as a forger. He's trying to forge documents this time. And his brilliant idea, which actually is not that bad of an idea, is creating a fake note with the school logo on it and Mr. Simpson's signature addressed to Toby's dad saying, hey, Toby is doing so well. Don't even worry about coming in for Parents' Day. He is he's top class, this kid. And we understand the reason that he's doing it. Toby is desperately, desperately trying to avoid having both of his parents show up.
Ain't nothing fishy about that letter.
Like back in those days, that would have been a really hard thing to verify. Like there wasn't the software to really comb over something like that and see if it had been altered in any way. Like I wish I had the ability to do something like that once or twice in my life.
Well, I mean, it depends on what it is.
It's totally a felony.
It is a felony.
Felonies. You come on.
Yeah. If it was like, you know, something serious, I don't know if they're going to ding you with that if it's just from your teacher. But it's a pretty wild thing to try and do. I thought it was pretty genius. I was pretty impressed, you know, when they showed the screen and he's pasting the signature and he's doing this and that. I'm like, damn, this is amazing. Yeah.
I was impressed until later in the episode when we realized that somehow Toby, this whiz kid computer kid, can't spell some basic words. Right?
It's just binary, and aside from that, there's nothing else.
He can forge documents, but he can't open a dictionary.
No.
Right.
And ergo, here's his problem. He's not applying himself fully in school. It actually dovetails with the plot perfectly.
That would have been a great take if they were like, and you know, had he spelled it, we would have been way more impressed. You know, if he had spelled it correctly.
We will let it go.
We would have put him in AP classes. He would be in a whole other level in this school.
Toby, you messed up. You messed up. Liberty. Now Emma is trying to get her editorial to Liberty in a classic stop the presses moment.
Quick time. She finishes that essay fast.
Yeah. But Liberty is not impressed that Emma is 17 minutes late handing this editorial in, but she will make an exception because she's still probably riding a high knowing that her dad knows the mayor. So from that point, Toby now gives that his letter, his forged document to his dad, and his dad does not buy it for a moment.
So busted.
Which, you know, yeah. And I felt bad for Toby because he obviously worked like for 3 or 4 minutes on that thing. And, and it just wasn't received the way that he wanted. Having to explain why he forged this document, Toby's dad reacts exactly how Toby thought he would. At first mention of his mom, it already brings some emotion to the surface. And now us, the audience, sees that Toby is not overreacting, that there is very good reason why his parents shouldn't be in the same room together for Parents' Day.
Mm.
Toby's dad promises Toby to try to calm the situation, that there will be no fighting. They will be on their best behavior. His dad understands, and he will not embarrass him. And Toby comes with that heartbreaking line that I want you there. I want mom there. I don't want you there together. And as someone that came from a situation like that, I feel for the kid very much. But yeah, in many ways, you would rather no parent shows up than both of them. You want them each to be proud of you, but not at the expense of embarrassing you in front of everybody that you know.
Yeah, that's tough, Shane. I'm sorry, man. Sorry to hear that, buddy.
Oh, that's okay, Mike. You coming from your you know, happy. You don't really have too much to say about this because you're just, your family was so blessed, weren't they? Weren't they?
Is that something that you were thinking about? Like, we used to read through, and obviously we'd read the scripts. Is that something you were thinking about as we were like shooting this, or is it something that, you know, you recognize more in hindsight, you know, watching the episode?
I'm recognizing it now because as I've said in earlier episodes, this is for episodes that I wasn't heavily featured in. I didn't watch, because back in those days, the only reason that I did watch was to see how I was doing as a performer. So for an episode like this, I would have watched like my one scene and not the rest. So I'm actually coming into these storylines for the first time. I wouldn't have known about it back then. But the kid in me seeing what Toby is going through is brought back there for sure.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
So Toby's dad promises Toby that they'll, you know, they're not going to fight.
And it seems sincere.
Yeah.
But as we all know, sometimes you can have a feeling that, if I'm in a room with my ex, we'll be friendly. And then your ex just looks at you in a certain way. And, it's off. You go to the mattresses for you, Godfather fans. Anyway.
And then PT day starts.
Yes.
God,
yes.
I hated this day. This was the most dreaded day of my year growing up.
Yeah. So Ashley is very stressed about, you know, making a good impression on Toby's mom, which is also kind of hilarious that even though she knows Toby's dad so well, she has never, ever, ever crossed paths with Toby's mom. Essentially knew nothing about her, but here we are. And Paige, very much in her element. If she is nervous, she is not showing it at all. She is dressed to kill, and she is looking forward to making a great first impression on Kate.
Does she have a fake tattoo on her arm in this scene? Like a henna tattoo? Did I see that right?
Oh, if she had a tattoo, like a real one, that would be on the show. Yeah, I didn't catch that. That's I would have to watch that again.
Do you notice how often she's always coming out of the stall in the restroom? She's like every single time she enters, she's been listening, overhearing in the stall, and just walks out in the middle of the scene. Like, oh, really?
Well, we know how much. How much stuff went on in the bathrooms of Degrassi over all the seasons. But Paige, I think they established early on, she was born with a smaller than normal bladder, and she drinks a lot of water.
I'm totally buying this.
No, that did not happen.
I am this gullible. Please.
Tanny's like, stop. I don't remember that in the character breakdown at all. I don't.
I was like, what? She what?
Yeah. It was a birth defect. You guys didn't. All right.
I can't wait for the small bladder episode.
Yeah. Then after the bathroom, we see Toby walking with his dad. Past Paige and Ashley, who are all standing in the front foyer. Toby is complaining about how his mom is not there yet. dad is saying, well, you know, your mother, we'll give her a couple more minutes. And then mom walks up to Ashley and Paige, could not have been more than 6 inches away from her son and did not acknowledge him at all.
Yeah.
And what's that all about? That whoever blocked that all out, I'm sorry. There need to be a little bit more thought. That it was Toby was literally, they were facing in the direction that her mom walked in, almost shoulder to shoulder. And then after talking to Ashley and Paige, and they kind of fall flat on their faces trying to introduce themselves and big themselves up. And then suddenly Toby turns around and goes, "Hi, mom." But really, how did you not see each other before? This is a very dysfunctional family.
Yeah, this is the kind of behavior that landed them in this spot in the first place, obviously.
Yeah.
I wondered what casting a casting director was like for the casting directors.
It's funny because I actually know the actress who played Toby's mom from a show where she played my mom for 2 years.
Christina Collins. Christina Collins played Anne Marie Isaacs.
Yes.
Wow.
Christina Collins.
Small world. There it is.
Yeah. Yeah, she was my mom in Sixth Grade Alien, which is funny because that also means that Lauren knew her as well. So it was this whole thing. I'm telling you, like, the universe in Canada was very small. Like, a lot of people knew a lot of people.
There was 230 people living in Toronto at the time we made this show. So,
and 75 of them were on Degrassi.
That's right. Yeah,
everyone in Toronto has been on Degrassi, has a character on the show. This is true.
Yeah, this is
a known fact. Sometimes it feels like that.
So the parents, Toby's parents, start jabbing at each other immediately. Ashley and Paige exchange some blows as well, as each one failed in their first attempt with Kate. And now they're trying to embarrass each other. And then we go very quickly to Mr. Simpson walking Toby and his parents into the media immersion lab. And he is just guns blazing.
Oh, my God.
Immediately, everything, like, Toby is stupid. He doesn't apply himself. His marks are shit. I'm like, whoa.
And Toby's right there.
Yeah.
Just taking it all.
A little tact, Mr. Simpson. Ease them into it. And Toby's just so, like, just taking it. The parents are like, yeah, we knew it.
It's like the movie Ghost, and Toby's dead, and they're talking about him.
What? But I was actually a little surprised. Toby did not give off the vibe of someone that was handing in assignments late and skipping the odd class. He seemed like, an on-the-ball student. So I was surprised as well, and also wanted to jump on the bandwagon of verbally slapping Toby in the face in front of a small group of people. Like, get your act together, man.
My guess is that ever since Ashley moved in, his grades have been slipping.
I thought that too. It's his acting out a little bit.
Yeah, he's acting out. Maybe this is all secretly conspiracy theory alert. His bid to get his parents, he says he doesn't want them together, but maybe he's just trying to get noticed by both of them at the same time. I don't know.
This is his version of the parent trap. I feel it. But now the parents start fighting over, the fact that there isn't enough oversight with what Toby has been doing. Mom is blaming dad because Toby, obviously dad has custody over Toby, and he should have been on it. And now they're going back and forth. Everyone is extremely uncomfortable, including me. And then we quickly go to Sean's brother, Emma, and Spike having it out. Danny, what was your brother's name in the show?
I think it was Tracker, right?
Yeah, his name is Tracker Cameron, played by Chris Holden Reed.
There you go.
Who's just always been in everything.
So we see Emma with Spike talking about the article again, and then we hear Tracker, who is very, very unimpressed reading this newsletter, and Sean is just caught in the middle of this, not wanting to say much. Don't know who he sides with exactly, but he, he's, I don't know. He's caught between a rock and a hard place here, because he doesn't lash out at Emma, but he also doesn't really back up his brother all that much. So we see like a sort of that Sean doesn't fly off the handle as much as we would have thought that a denim dressed bad boy would.
I'm so curious, Daniel, what did you think of this scene? This was an intense one. What did you think of it?
I kind of felt for Sean a little bit. He was like, I mean, the way I remember it is he was really embarrassed. I mean, because a lot of kids, if you don't have like a perfect life, they don't want to talk about it with kids who they assume do have a perfect life. Uh-huh. Right. And particularly someone, you know, like Emma, who he clearly likes a lot, you know, that's not how you want to lead with, you know, developing a relationship with someone is all your problems. And I think even teenagers recognize that, you know, they try to put their best foot forward and Tracker is totally screwing it up for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, this was 2001, right? I mean, the first iPhone came out in 2007. So 6 years later. And before that, there weren't really smartphones. And even when that phone came out, it was crazy expensive. Most kids who came, you know, who didn't have it all, did not have a computer. They did not have internet access. Many kids, their smartphone was the first time they ever had access to the internet. So just think about that. Like people who are our age, they were shut out completely from like a source that where you could learn everything. And nowadays, of course, kids can't even fathom that, because even we couldn't fathom, you know, a life without our phone. But certainly kids who are teenagers today, their entire lives, they've had access to something that many people did not have access to. Millions and millions of Americans, tons of Canadians. They didn't have it like that. My stepdad worked for IBM, so I was really lucky as a kid that we did have computers at home, but a lot of kids didn't. And so again, the Degrassi writers were like weaving in something that was playing out in real time, certainly in 2001, because a lot of kids did not have access. And just think about that. If you're, you know, you're going up against other kids who do, you know, it would be like today, or maybe because it's still kind of terrible, but think about ChatGPT or AI 2 years from now. If you didn't have access to any of that or any search engines or any assistance like that, and you still had to like tough it out in a library versus kids who can find a solution or an answer in seconds, you're not even on the same playing field. And that's kind of one of the core components of this episode that the writers were trying to, you know, to say is that, well, you know, this program might be a little conservative, but we get these computers and a lot of kids don't have them, you know? And that's like, well, damn, you know, like, well, what are we going to do now?
Yeah, no, it's a good mm-hmm. point. Mm-hmm. And the internet was not democratized by this point. We take it for granted now, but you're right. If you had money, you had access. And if you didn't, you didn't. So obviously this is what Tracker is standing on principally, but still quite a bit of an intense moment, because he's kind of like a grown man talking to like a little girl, being like, shame on you.
Yeah,
right.
Also, Emma is not backing down. Like for a 13-year-old girl to be going full force against a grown man was also like it was an uncomfortable moment. And kudos to Spike for not saying a word while this man is yelling at her daughter right in front of her.
Right.
Great parenting, once again.
Yeah, she's kind of let it happen, you know. But she probably had faith that Emma was going to do the right thing without her. She didn't want to step in, you know. Emma formed this opinion on her own. She probably wanted to let her do it.
I respect it. Now we're back in the computer lab with the parent-teacher interview, Mr. Simpson. Toby's parents are in a full-blown fight. Now they're bringing out points of why they got divorced, who's to blame for it. And eventually Toby just has enough, snaps, takes charge, tells them to stop blaming each other for his shortcomings. It was his fault. Stop fighting. He will do better. End this crap now. And Mr. Simpson was, you know, trying to calm the whole thing down. But that was a really nice moment for Toby. He didn't want to just allow this to continue. Obviously, his embarrassment reached a boiling point where he couldn't take it anymore. But it ended up being a very formative moment for him and his parents realizing what they were doing. And in the theater, they were doing it. Yeah.
To take responsibility like that for the hardest thing, just so that your parents stop fighting, is just shows how much he hates them fighting. It's kind of it's a really brave thing that he does there.
Mm-hmm. So that was a very nice moment. Proud of you, Toby, for that. Then we go back to Paige and Ashley. Still trying to salvage that moment with Kate. It's mainly Paige here, and Kate is not falling for any of Paige's tricks, which is surprising because she is full of personality. If I was a casting director and I saw a girl coming on that hard that was so bubbly and had so much spirit, I would have given her a card. But Kate, I guess she's seasoned. And she's like, there's something I don't like about this girl. But then the parents and Toby join Ashley in the foyer again. And right away, again, the parents just start talking shit about Toby. How'd it go? Well, you know, Toby has to apply himself more. He just needs his marks aren't really there. He's a crappy student, really. But there might be hope for him yet.
We're strongly considering military school for young Toby.
That would have been the best spin-off series. Toby in military school.
Is nothing sacred here? Yeah. Have we not heard about talking about this at home, people? And because Paige is right there, like they're strangers right there. Anyway. Toby then has a nice moment with Mom. Where Mom apologizes for how she had been. She was being selfish. She didn't see how much it was stressing him out, and she would try not to do that anymore. And in the last moment before Kate exits, actually the second last moment before Kate exits, Paige hands her legitimately a continuity Polaroid of Paige in the outfit that she was currently in. Did anyone realize that?
It is a continuity Polaroid, right?
It absolutely was. I recognize the cabinets from Hair and Makeup where that would have been taken. The nice wood panels.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it was probably like a last minute decision. They were like, oh crap, what's she going to give her? Like, did you give her a business card? And like, no, she's a teenager. She doesn't have a business card. She's in high school. And they're like, well, what do we do? And they're like, I don't know. And the wardrobe's like, I got a Polaroid of her in the outfit to make sure we don't screw up the episode and give her the wrong top.
You know? So wait. So we're sacrificing the episode for this moment? Yeah. Yeah. It seems worth it.
Yeah.
It's just so funny that she hands her a Polaroid of herself, like a real casting agent.
Yeah. Something to remember me by. And then she kisses it.
There's no way to get in contact with me. There's no phone number on it. No address.
No.
Just a picture.
No.
I think she sprayed it with a really nice perfume, you know? And the casting director now has it like on her bedside table. She's like, oh, I do remember that sweet young
girl. Oh, it's and for those of you out there that don't know what a continuity photo is, whenever you get your hair done, or your makeup done, or you're in a specific outfit, there are pictures that are taken of you to make sure that when we revisit that day, or if your outfit or your makeup or your hair get messed up a little bit, that there is photo evidence of exactly how to reset you.
What you look like.
Those make for some great keepsakes throughout the years. I have plenty of those.
I have a lot of those continuity photos. I have continuity photos from lots of the shows that I did, and I cherish
them. Wouldn't it advise giving it to someone as a form of business card? But hey,
I might actually give all my continuity photos to a casting director.
They were usually not that flattering. Like, the lighting was terrible. You were kind of tired. Usually, a lot of the times, it was from, like, the dressings that happened very early when they were just dressing you and going,
It's like 6:15 in the morning. Yeah.
It's really just for reference. It's not to make you look good or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
No. But apparently Paige thought she looked stellar in that picture, or she wouldn't have given it out. But after that moment and Kate just going like, all right, before she heads out the front doors of Degrassi and out into the great unknown, she takes one look at Terry.
Wait, you're saying Kate, but I think you mean Anne.
Was it Anne?
Yeah, it's Anne.
I thought it was Kate. This whole time I've been saying Kate, and you correct me now?
Anne Marie Isaacs, played by Christina Collins.
Oh, no.
No, it's fine.
Oh, no. Well, everyone out there, every time I said Kate, I meant Anne. And and now we have a big problem. Yeah, I'm fired.
No. You're fired for so many other reasons, Shane.
Fair enough. Okay, so at least it's not just that one.
I like the cut of your jib. You're rehired.
Yeah, oh, thanks, bud. but yes, apparently on the way out, Anne takes one look at Terry and goes, you girl, you're going to be a star. Call me. And gives out her card. And Terry with the unexpected win, and good for her, because the other girls were trying way too hard and they didn't deserve it and they didn't want it bad.
That's
enough.
The lesson.
Yeah.
Don't try.
Don't
Stop
try.
Trying.
Ever. Yeah. Yeah. That was like a Homer Simpson to Bart Simpson lesson at one point too. And I took that to heart, and now I never try with anything like learning cast members' names, or character names, apparently. As has played out in the last few moments.
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
So now, we are back to Sean and Emma. Emma walks into the computer lab. Sean is already there. And he, the gesture of moving his bag without a word being said, spoke volumes to me. Sean is really warming up to Emma. Obviously, she gained some of his respect for standing up for herself the moment before, the last time they saw each other with Tracker and Spike as well. And I thought it was very cute that when Emma mailed Sean a message sitting right next to him, Sean was so confused, but who could have sent me this? There's a mailman. Should I open this? It was a very cute.
I love this scene. Daniel, like, were you, like, how much were you playing up the romance? How much were you aware of where the romance was going to go over the seasons? Were you sort of, was it like, maybe this is a friend, maybe Emma's a good friend, maybe she's like me, maybe there's something more? You're also in a different grade, so, you know, like, that's, is there a complication there? Like, what are you thinking here?
No, they're in the same grade, because Sean got held back.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah. So he's a little older, but they're in the same grade. Got it, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But what's the thinking? Like, is there a romance here? Are you thinking in those terms? Are you?
I mean, I think the writing was on the wall. That something was going on. I feel like Sean didn't think he deserved Emma. You know what I mean? And maybe even like that was reinforced by her standing up to his brother like that. Like he definitely had a newfound respect. He's like, crap, you know, how do I get this girl? You know, I mean, she's like an angel, you know what I mean? Like she just seems like a really great girl. And I think he knows that and he doesn't want to screw it up. You know what I mean? Like he's trying to figure out, you know, on one hand, he probably really likes her. And on the other hand, he's like, you know, I'd probably just screw it up anyways, you know, just like everything. You know, I think that the moving the bag thing was really cute. The message thing kind of got to me because it like takes up the whole screen. It wasn't even like, that's the thing back in the day that people don't get, right? There was no iMessage. There was, I think, ICQ. What was the one, the AOL messaging?
There was ICQ, and then shortly after there was MSN Messenger. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. That's right. And you would leave like your mood and your name would be have like, like weird characters in it and stuff.
Yeah, because we had no emojis yet.
They just
we hadn't invented emojis. That's
well,
true.
Well, they just brushed all that aside. Yeah, they brushed all that aside and were like, I don't know, just put a big male in the screen, just a big letter, and you know, let's just go with it. It was like that. Wasn't there like a song with like Nelly and one of the Destiny's Child people, and it was just like on Excel, like they were messaging each other, and it was Microsoft Excel because they couldn't figure out. Yeah.
I do remember that. Yeah, that's right. It was in a video, right?
How to make a messenger during yeah. the filming.
They're like, this must be what messaging technology looks like, a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
They'll never notice.
They'll never notice, right? And of course, now everyone like zooms in and is like, wait a second, you know? And so I don't know why.
Is that Excel spread?
Yeah, I don't know why producers were like lagging behind real life, but that was kind of cute.
It was also hard to do computer graphics like that at the time in film and TV world, right? So it was like doing these on-screen effects were complicated and they needed to be created in a computer. So we were like, I don't know how to render that.
Yeah,
it's funny also that Emma had the courage to say that stuff to Tracker, but she didn't have the courage to say what she wanted to say to Sean, so she would just write it. And I feel like when you're that age, and even now, like you feel like writing is so much easier, you know, like messaging things are so much easier than saying them in person, especially if you feel like vulnerable, you don't know how they're going to react. Somehow that feels like a safe space, you know? And so it's just funny that she's literally right next to him. And, you know, she feels more comfortable just sending him this message. You know, she could have said nothing, you know, but she didn't. She decided to say what she wanted to say and write it.
Well, I mean, that it speaks to how nervous she is around Sean, because like, obviously she had no relationship with Tracker, but she really does like Sean and can gather up the courage to have a full blown fight with a stranger, but can't even like apologize face to face, would rather do it in a cute way. But it's also the beginning of the trend that in this day and age, people don't even know how lucky they are that you can text someone something that's difficult to say instead of calling them, because when we were kids, they didn't even have text messages yet. Your only option was to call someone. And then shortly after that, we had text, and then social media came out. So then that became the first way to get in touch with a person. You would get in touch on social media, then ask for a phone number, then be able to text, and then eventually do the phone call. There were layers to the process.
God, we're so old.
Phone calls could also have been tough because if you got to call their house, then you got to call and their parents could pick up. And you're like...
Landlines? Yeah.
Bit. Yeah, you're like, now their parents know a guy is calling them. You know, like, it was a lot of pressure, you know, a lot of pressure.
And you couldn't call in the middle of the night. You absolutely could not do that. Like, now you get phone calls at 3-4 in the morning and it's no problem. You couldn't call a person, like, especially if you're trying to talk to a girl and the parents didn't know about it, after, like, dinner time.
Yeah.
Because the whole house would ring and everybody would be up.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah. They'd want to know what was up because they're bored because they don't have phones, right? So they're like, wait, what's going on? You know, finally something. All right, what is it? They want to talk to our daughter? Yeah. I'll kill them. You know, like, these are all the things going through your head when you're a teenager. Yeah, I need something to do. So I'm going to take it out on this 14-year-old boy who mustered up the courage to call my daughter, the gall, you know.
My mind is flashing back to all of the awkward conversations I had with parents of girls that I really liked, houses I was standing in the front door of. Oh, yes, sir. I'll bring her back by 9 p.m. We're just going to the ice cream shop. Yes, sir, you know.
You would also memorize how people would answer the phone, like how their parents would say hello, and you would know instantly who it was and what kind of mood they were in.
So you could hang up really quickly? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
That it was also such a beautiful time. People had to be much more punctual. I've had this conversation with people about, like, now you could change plans on the go constantly. If you were going out to meet up with, say, 3 or 4 friends, and you made plans to meet at a certain time at a certain place, you all had to be there or you would wait because there was no way to get in touch with anybody after you left your house. So if you made your friends wait for about an hour, they would be livid. And if you didn't come with a good story, you were a huge asshole. But if your friends didn't wait for you, you were trapped. You just had to go home.
Yeah.
It was a totally different world.
You had to get back into your horse and carriage and go home. And it took 3 days because you lived too far.
And let's button up this episode, shall we? So, we have that cute, bonding moment, with the male. And then Emma and Sean have a little back and forth, and Sean's final line to Emma it wasn't garbage, which that was probably the first nice thing that Sean said to her, and it was vindicating and showed respect. I don't know, she probably that made her day, made her week, made her year, I would think.
It also meant that he read it, which is huge, right? Like, anyone who's written anything, if people give you feedback, whether it's good or bad, just the fact that they read it is sometimes super rewarding, you know, especially if you like them. That means a lot.
Very true.
And then finally, we have Mr. Simpson, who approaches Toby in the hallway. What a class act Mr. Simpson is.
I love this. He's like the ultimate good parental figure here.
Yeah. He wants to make sure that Toby is okay. He's sorry that PT day went like that, and then quickly follows up with a full-on assault on Toby for knowing that this was a forged document. How dare you do that? Now you owe me a 10-page essay by tomorrow morning. And before Toby walks away completely and has to really stew in what he did, Simpson follows up with a, I'm proud of you, kid. And then
it's the perfect poop sandwich. Tough love in the middle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is the end of Parents' Day. So, Danny, you're like, looking back on these early episodes, like, when's the last time you saw any clip of Degrassi? Something in the later seasons, early seasons, like what does it feel like seeing yourself 25 years ago, as an adult now?
It's weird because like a part of you recognizes that person and then a part of you like doesn't recognize it at all. You know, like it's almost like a stranger, you know, But because we were actually in it, and people don't realize, but it wasn't just one take, you know, it took up days, weeks, and months of our lives. And so you kind of go back to that time and like what you were feeling, you know, when you were filming the episode. And so there's a lot of reflection there as well. So it's weird. It's like a weird dichotomy where a part of you doesn't recognize the person, and then a part of you, it kind of like takes you back, you know, and you're like, wow, you know, it was probably maybe a few years ago that, you know, I caught some clips of some of the earlier seasons that we did. And it was like, that's how I felt, you know. It's funny because sometimes you still get ads for the show or like little things here and there, and social is good for that as well. I mean, I follow, a lot of the, Instagram pages, you know, I try to support the fans and stuff. And so, you know, things come up on my feed all the time. And so, yeah, that it is interesting because, it's interesting how much we remember, you know, it's crazy. Like, because it's almost like a copy of that time in your life. You know, it's like it's a pretty cool historical record to have. I feel very lucky to be a part of the show for that reason. Because not only did it mean a lot to a lot of people, but being on it for years with the cast meant a lot to me, you know? And so it is interesting. I mean, those were some crazy years. I mean, a lot happened around the world in 2001. And so even just thinking about that is pretty wild. And all of those things happened while we were together, like on set, you know? So it is interesting. It also, like a lot of the, it makes me smile because a lot of the people, that I worked with were just so great. Like Miriam was so great. Like in and out, she was one of probably the most genuine, like beautiful people that I know. And so, you know, seeing us like young and like, I'm just like, wow, I was really lucky, you know, to be around, nice people like that, because not everyone is nice, you know? So I feel like, I don't know if that was like a bubble thing, if it was like our age or the fact that it was a Canadian show, might've meant a lot, because certainly like a lot of my friends that were on other shows that weren't produced in Canada or didn't have the themes that, you know, Degrassi had, did not have the same experience that I think we had, you know. And I could be wrong. There's probably people on the show who feel differently, but
no, I agree. And being on other sets, other TV shows, I realized how special Degrassi was. And to a certain extent, they really tried to create this family bubble and to keep us all safe and protected and together in the togetherness, and which is, it's lovely. And yeah, thanks for saying that. It really does feel like a family still, you know, that we just get to reflect on. Do you think that, like, what are you planning on? You know, you have a child now, and do you think you're going to pass the torch down? Do you think that you're going to show your child the show? And have you thought about that at all? Like watching episodes or how you're going to?
That's a great question. You know, I think it's going to be a really interesting, I almost have to. You know what I mean? Because I'm curious to see what she thinks when she recognizes her dad on television. You know, a lot of friends of mine that are actors or producers or directors, they look forward to it because a lot of the time they want to produce stuff that they're proud of and that they want to share with their children, you know? Because this was so long ago and we were kids, that's kind of an extra element, right? In the sense that, you know, we're growing up on television and showing it to our kids would be interesting because they, I think, would realize that we were kids too. And I think that it would blow their mind in many ways. So I think that I will. A lot of the shows that I did were kids shows. So that makes it easy, right? Like if it was if I was in a Quentin Tarantino movie or something, maybe I'd wait a little bit, you know? But I would probably eventually show her that too. I think that, you know, they're free to do whatever they want. It's interesting that all of us, when we were kids, we knew what we wanted, you know, that we wanted to be, actors and we wanted to be on shows, you know? So a lot of the times kids come to that on their own, you know? And so I think if my daughter wanted to do that, I'd definitely support her, Because I know that, well, at least for me, and I mean, Shane mentioned earlier in this podcast that that's what he wanted, you know, and that means everything.
That's beautiful, man.
It's great.
It's really beautiful.
That's great.
Is there anything else that we should know? Anything else you got coming up? Anything you want to plug? Anything you want the world to, yeah, want the world to know about you?
Not really. You know, I'm just kind of, I'm in a great spot. I'm having a great time. You know, this is all new for me, being a father and a husband. So I'm really blessed. I mean, I'm a lot older than many people are when they start having kids. So I feel like it's kind of a really awesome second act. And I'm just really glad that I'm blessed with this and that God has given me this opportunity. You know, I love big cities. I live in Toronto with my family. We go back and forth between the States and Canada all the time. We're all dual citizens. I think one thing I will say is I think everyone should focus on what we have in common rather than, you know, what makes us different. And I think that's kind of one of the core tenets of Degrassi. And we see it playing out in the real world all the time. And so I don't have anything to plug, but I would just say that, you know, people should practice a little more empathy and try to see the good in other people and know that, you know, everyone's different, you know, just like an ensemble cast. Everyone comes from a different angle. They have different things going on in their lives. So, you know, that we should be a lot kinder to each other. You know,
thanks for sharing that message, man.
That's it.
I 100% agree. And I do think it is the cornerstone of Degrassi, what you just talked about. And we got to figure out how to keep that alive, keep it going.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, the good news, everyone is a lot of people love the show, you know, which means a lot of people must agree with us. Yeah. You know,
or they will now.
Yeah, or they should.
Now, before we let you go, Danny, I think Andy, it's time for the mailbag. What do we have?
Oh, God, we got
what
questions.
Do we have this week, sir?
Yeah, you guys actually asked a bunch of questions. We kind of did a mailbag featuring Shane and Mike this week. So I would like to ask Daniel, would you like to come back on the show again, you know, sooner than later so that we can kind of have a little bit longer of a session doing some listener questions for you? Because we have a lot of listeners with a lot of questions.
Honestly, yes, I would. First of all, anything for you guys, for Mike and Shane, and also anything for the fans for the show. I've more recently, like, I've had a great appreciation for people and for what the show has done for them. I think it would be a disservice if I did not. So I would love to come back and answer as many questions for you guys as you have.
Awesome.
I would love to.
That's so rad.
Yeah, we'll have to do a special episode where we just kind of chat, ask some questions, do a little, I think that would be great.
Yeah.
Danny, you are, thank you. Thank you so much for doing this. Like, it was great to see you, but hearing about where you are in your life and being, you know, in enjoying every aspect of it. And it seems like you're also at the point where, like Mike and I, you've put Degrassi into this, that whole period into a perspective where you just see what an incredible thing we were all a part of and how it lives on in the hearts and minds of fans. It still, you know, plays a pretty significant role in our day-to-day life in one way or another. And, dude, it's just been, so fun catching up with you and can't wait for the next time.
Yeah. I very much look forward to chatting with you guys again. So just let me know. This has been really a slice. Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me on this show.
Anytime, buddy.
You got it.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We had a seriously fun time talking to Danny, and we really appreciate you coming along for the ride. If you have any questions, thoughts, or if you want to just share your Degrassi memories, please hit us up at dgradspodcast@gmail.com.
And don't forget to sign up for our Patreon. You'll get ad-free versions of all of the episodes. It's the best way to listen to the podcast and support the show. Plus, we're going to have a lot of bonus content coming your way. So stay tuned for that. That's at patreon.com/dgrads.
And thank you once again for listening. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, please don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review the podcast. It really does help it get seen by more and more people, and we want everyone to have a chance to come and hang out with us. So this has been D-Grads with Shane Kippel and Michael Bell, and we will see you next week.
Peace out.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.